Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Welcome back to another Lost Library Blind Box. We have another great group for this set of episodes that y'all are going to be hearing. The Mumpocalypse crew is back at it again and with a new friend. So I guess we can go around and just say your name, what character you're going to be playing today, and whatever stuff you want to promo.
Hi there, I am Annie Creighton of Crooked Russian Cam. I do Gem Jammer, the Gem Jam, I Will Fight You, and Date Me, Damn It, as well as probably other shit I don't remember. I am going to be your storyteller here. We are playing Kringle Cross, which is a homebrew that I kind of came up with that's vaguely powered by the apocalypse. Christina gave me a huge amount of help on it. We're going to see how this one goes.
It's going to be great.
Hi, I am Alyssa Henson. I previously played Trish on Mompocalypse, and I will be playing Amelia.
My name's Jackie. I will be playing the greedy little girl named Jade.
Okay, I am Christina Woods. I led Mompocalypse when we did it last time, and today I am playing Charlie, who is the traditional. You can find me on Twitter, at CWoodsArt. I've got my own show, which is The Homebrew Wayward OCs, and Instagram and Tumblr are both Christina Woods Art. Not that I'm on Tumblr that much anymore, because it's a trash fire, but that's beside the point.
I'm Mac, I'm the new one. I'm playing Lori, and I hate Christmas because it sucks and is fake. And I'm with Annie on everything that she's on.
Oh, good.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I'm on Twitter at WilkyWit. That's WILKYWIT. I am on lots of other Lost Library campaigns and one-shots. I'm a co-host on the Whatnots Review Show podcast. And today I am playing the Star Archetype, and my girl is named Mavis.
I'm Shannon Maynor. I am a co-host of Kingdom Smarts and a cast member on the Cool Kids Table. I'm pretty sure I'm playing a character named Ashley. I have a question mark written down next to it. And I'm like 98% sure that's right. If it's not, it is now. You can follow me on Twitter at Shannon Maynor.
Oh god, this is so good. This is already so good, y'all. We've just done introductions.
Okay, so... all of our characters are kids. I've got a whole bunch of various ages, but we are going to basically start introducing everybody one by one. So, let's set the stage. It's Christmas Eve. If snow falls in the place where you are, snow is falling. You are several kids. You live in places that are very much like our Earth, but may not be, or maybe they are. I don't actually know for sure. That part's up to you. It's a game of choices. Let's start with our archetype of the traditional. So, the traditional, what is your name?
My name is Charlie.
All right, Charlie, tell me a little bit about yourself. It's Christmas Eve. What does that mean for your home? What's that like in your house? What did you do today?
Well, I had the day off school because we're on holiday break, But I spent most of the day at home. Dad had to work today, so he's been at the hospital. I did get to call my mom and my siblings, and we talked for a little bit. But because they're in England and we're in the US, it wasn't for super long, and I really miss them.
All right, you are supposed to be asleep, but it's Christmas Eve. You might be, you might not be. Where are you right now? Are you at home? Are you in your bedroom? Are you on a couch? Are you even asleep?
Probably, I'm sitting, I'm on the couch. I'm watching the new She-Ra series for the sixth time all the way through. Because I don't know actually what 10-year-olds enjoy. And it's like, you know what? She-Ra. She-Ra's good.
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So she is watching She-Ra on a tablet on the couch.
All right. Tell me about where you live. Are you in a house, an apartment? What's your home like?
Charlie and her dad live in an apartment. It's an apartment complex where a lot of the doctors from the hospital that her dad is studying, I guess, at live. So it's kind of like, hey, like they hang out and the doctors like help take care of people's kids if they've got kids, that kind of a thing. There's enough people around, but there's no one like in the house with her.
Okay, so you are alone at home. Super great. Great for Christmas Eve. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Second floor, first floor, third floor?
Third floor. Third floor. Yeah. Heard it's probably going to be getting home at like 2 a.m. or something like that.
Okay, so it's like, it's about 10 p.m. You're like 10 years old. It's pretty late for you, but you've been watching a whole lot of She-Ra. You've probably at this point started to be able to read the lines along with the characters, maybe say them a couple seconds before anybody else has. It's been a long night for you, but it's also Christmas tomorrow, so you're a little stressed. You're kind of wired. And you hear something outside the balcony. It's a weird noise. It sounds like somebody is trying to start a lawn mower. Like one of the old pole ripcord ones. Like it's not going well, whatever it is. What do you do?
I pause the tablet. And can I see what's happening, like, without moving the curtain or whatever?
No, whatever's happening is behind the blinds, which you probably should have drawn because you're a child at home. You don't want anybody looking at you.
Well, it's got curtains and blinds.
Okay, curtains and blinds. Well, either way, there's kind of a weird light actually seeping through the blinds, kind of an odd glow. It's definitely not any of the street lights out in the parking lot. You're not sure what's happening here.
Okay. Then in that case, I take my mobile and I've got it ready to call not the emergency system number for England, which I don't know off the top of my head because I've never been there.
The only one I can think of is the joke from from IT Crowd.
But Charlie's got her phone ready to dial in case she needs to call someone, but kind of like move like one blind aside and like get one eye through the curtains, because if this is something important, she's gonna go to the next door neighbor who usually watches her.
You peek through the curtain, and you know, honestly, you're not totally sure what you see. There's something big and there's something dark out there. You should be seeing, you know, down into the parking lot. You should be seeing some of the other apartment buildings in your complex. You don't see anything, just the strange, it almost looks like a big wheel. And you hear that sound again. And you hear a muffled sound outside. It sounds like someone's talking. Maybe they're cursing. Whoever it is, they don't sound like they're having a great time.
Okay. Can I, like, I want to, like, move my phone up and, like, take, like, a, like, start, like, taking, like, pictures of it before calling the police.
Okay. All right. Is the flash on?
Let's go with yes.
Okay, great. So you reach up your mobile, because we're British here.
Well, Charlie's British.
You snap a couple of pictures, and well, that flash there, that doesn't do too well. you hear everything stops suddenly. Whatever that noise was, it stops, and everything seems strangely eerie for its absence. Like, you realize in the back of your head, this has been going on a while, and the background noise is suddenly just nothing. And you also hear... What the... Oh, God. Okay. And then something lands with a thump on your balcony, and you try to peer through the blinds, and then you actually see someone else peer back.
I hide behind the Christmas tree.
Oh.
It's a small one, and it's a fake Christmas tree, but it's there, and I want to run for cover.
This is supposed to be a whole thing. You hear a knock on your sliding
I'm not
door.
Answering.
Oh, come on.
Definitely not answering. Calling my
Hello?
Dad.
Oh, jeez, come on. I know somebody's supposed to be in here. Oh, jeez. Oh, God, I don't have my lockpick. God, get the lockpicks on. You hear some jingling, you hear the sound of metal sliding together, and then the sliding door slides open. God, would it kill you people to get a chimney in here? What? Hey, whoa, hey, kid, come on, kid, don't do this to me. And, are you looking?
Absolutely not.
What's coming to your apartment?
Absolutely not. No? Charlie's dad has probably gone to his ringtone or his voicemail by now.
Okay, you hear some rhythmic little, some little jing, 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 as some jingle bells pace slowly towards you, and then you get a tap on your shoulder. Hey. Hi?
I don't want to clip my audio this early in the recording, so I'm gonna... Charlie screams and turns around and tries to hit whoever's behind her.
Oh, jeez! Sweet, oh, Kringle, come on! Oh my God! Oh,
why
my
are
God.
You
stop,
in my
stop,
house?
Stop, stop,
get
stop,
out!
Stop. It's Christmas. What do you want from me? Oh my God! This is supposed to be. Oh, I had a whole thing. I had a whole thing, and now you just gonna. Hi, you have to save Christmas. Okay, so stop running. Stop flailing. Just stop doing anything. You have to save Christmas.
What?
You realize that what you're looking at is an honest-to-God Christmas elf. About your height, and you're not particularly tall, so this is a little weird because they definitely look like an adult. Maybe they got the pointy ears, they got the little jingle hat, they got the little bells on their little curly shoes, they're wearing red and green. This is everything you've ever seen that makes you think Christmas elf. And they are asking you to save Christmas.
What?
Oh God, this is supposed to go so much better. All right,
you broke into our house!
You didn't open the door! Look, you're Charlie, right?
How do you know my name?
Yes. They just sort of gesture to all of them, and they kind of jingle a little while they do it.
Is this something that happens in the U.S.?
What?
Do people just have to break into people's houses to do Christmas in the U.S.? Is this something?
No, look, there's not a lot of time. I don't have a whole lot of time. You don't have a whole lot of time. Christmas doesn't have a whole lot of time. I need you to help me save Christmas. I've been summoned by England. Father Christmas? I don't know. Look, I need you. I need some other kids. I need you to get on this frickin' train. Maybe once there's a kid on board, it'll start. I don't know. We gotta go.
Do I... I need to let my dad know whether I'm gonna go save Christmas. Is this, like...
You'll be back before they wake up? I don't know. It's Christmas. It's a time thing. Look.
Okay.
Leave a note if you want. I don't care. Just please make it quick. We got places to go.
Okay. Charlie, then I'll leave a note for my dad on the counter and put on some shoes and maybe a jacket.
Great. Anything else you need to bring with you? This is going to be like a, this is going to take a while.
I don't know. I haven't saved Christmas before. This only happens on like Doctor Who.
Doctor. What are they watching? All right, fine. Yes, I'm fine. Yeah, get on the wheeled tortoise, okay?
Okay.
And they point out, and you walk out on your balcony, and there is a giant steam train. And you realize that this is weird because you're on the third floor. Welcome to the Polar Express, something, something, get on.
Okay, I get on the train.
Great. All right. As soon as you step onto this train, into this big plush compartment with tons of chairs and seats, the train starts to hum underneath your feet. And the elf climbs aboard behind you and runs up to the engine compartment, slides the door open between these two cars, leaves that door open, and you can kind of see inside it to what looks like a large control console, along with a big display. And this elf sits at the control console and starts fiddling with some knobs, and pulls, actually, yes, it is a fucking ripcord. Okay, let's see if this will actually work now. God, I wish I knew how to actually fly this thing. God, I wish the other elves were still around. And they flip some knobs, they pull the ripcord again, and the train springs to life. The engine starts humming. The whole train is filled with glitter, actually. It's kind of weird. Like, the air around you starts to shimmer, and the elf looks back over your shoulder. Yeah, okay. Okay, so this should actually work then. Got a kid on board. They got spirit. That powers the train. Great. Okay, you might want to sit down. And without waiting for you to sit down, the elf drives the train off into the night. And as you are flying, everything gets a little weird. In fact, you said you watched Doctor Who. You know how in the beginning it sort of goes through a rip in space-time in the opening? That actually looks a little bit familiar to you, because that's what happens around the windows. And then, after you are going through this strange red and green warp, you end up in another starry sky.
Doctor Who is Santa confirmed.
Doctor Who is Santa and Banksy.
And now we jump over to Mavis. Mavis, it's Christmas Eve. What's that like in your house?
My parents are out at a cocktail party, and my grandma is here watching my little brother and sister. It's their bedtime, but I am allowed to stay up and finish crafting my plate of cookies for Santa. I've been doing this the last couple years since they've trusted me to be old enough to work the oven on my own. And every Christmas Eve, I make 12 beautiful, pristine cookies for the big guy.
12, huh? One for every day of Christmas?
Absolutely.
Oh my god. All right, but you are still up. Now, you said your siblings are asleep. Is your grandmother asleep too?
I think she's probably, like, I can hear them at the other end of the house. Like, she's like, okay, we're going to read the story one more time, and then you have to go to sleep, but... She's not concerned about me, and I'm not concerned about her. Like, I've got cookies to finish decorating and arranging, plating. I have to plate.
Oh my god, you have yes. to plate.
Hashtag relatable.
So, you are plating your cookies. You've got a lot of work to do. You've worked really hard on these, right?
Absolutely. Every single year, I try something new. I mix in a couple of the classics. You know, Santa Claus is a man of tradition, but you don't want this to get stale. So, some classic gingerbreads in here, some shortbreads, trying some new things. You know, I made chocolate pizzelles this year. You know, it's a matter of just adding cocoa powder, but how much? What's the ratio that you use? This was our project this year.
Okay. So you turn around from this delicious plate that you are working on. You've got maybe about 3 or 4 cookies on it right now. You've got to get this arrangement just right. And when you turn back around, 2 of those cookies are gone.
I think she's going to tiptoe over to the other side of the house. And she listens and nope. No, Grandma and the kids are still there.
Mm-hmm.
Dog's sure asleep.
You come back, more of those cookies are gone.
Mavis is old enough to kind of get the idea that when she wakes up on Christmas morning, it was her dad that ate most of the cookies she left out, but she's not sure. She's young enough that she doesn't know for sure. And she looks at the plate. You must like them.
There's some crumbs.
You didn't...
There's actually a crumb trail.
Oh. I think she feels very proud. The cookies have been eaten. That's the entire goal. Santa must want to give compliments to the chef. So confidently.
Right.
She's going to go follow that crumb trail.
All right. So that crumb trail leads into the dining room in your house, and that's probably all set, ready for a Christmas dinner thing tomorrow morning. There's a big tablecloth on it, and those crumbs are leading under the tablecloth. You hear some little crunching sounds.
That's suspicious. Santa Claus wouldn't go underneath the table. He's too big. What's he doing under there? Somebody's eating those cookies, and she wants to know who it is, so she just picks up the tablecloth with a flounce.
A flounce, yes. Huh? Something pitch black and full of teeth and claws scampers out. It hisses at
you. Is this game just us realizing that Santa Claus is probably just like a horror supernatural movie? And like the holiday season.
A gentleman
just
never tells.
Christmas is just haunted.
This creature, now that it's out in the light, there are crumbs around its mouth. Its mouth that has too many teeth, too many sharp, pointed teeth. It has beady eyes, and it is the color of oil slicks. You see, maybe there's a little bit of almost a mother of pearl texture when the light hits it just right, but it is black. It is black as night. It has pointed ears that are dripping what seems to be some sort of ichor, and in its claws are the remains of your cookies.
Those aren't for you. The tag by the plate said Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. He takes them home to his wife. It's for the two of them. You put those back. Do you still have one? You put it back. I worked on those for Santa.
It blinks at you? It's not really clear about how this is usually supposed to go, but it's pretty sure this isn't it. Why don't you make me a roll?
Okay, what am I rolling?
Why don't you manipulate?
That is a 7.
So it's got like a big chunk of a cookie in its mouth. You notice that the one that's holding in his hand is actually like a reindeer shape, and it's got its head in its mouth. It looks down at the cookie, looks up at you. Deliberately, while making eye contact with you, crunches the cookie into pieces in its mouth, which is interesting because, like, those are sharp teeth. It doesn't really have molars. It can't really chew things very well. And it kind of, like, quickly looks down, looks up, shoves half the rest of the cookie in its mouth, and then, like, throws the other half of the cookie on the table. Then with its mouth full of food, it opens his mouth. It's got a long, like, really pointed, like, you're looking at some kind of tiny imp. Oh, no! And then it basically plays seafood.
That's very rude. Fine. Swallow it. I don't want to look at it anymore. Swallow it. Go to the sink. Wash your hands. Get out of my house.
So, the little creature, it narrows its eyes at you, and then something seems to catch its attention. Its ears kind of twitch upright, and it looks, it tilts its head a little, and you realize it's looking over your shoulder.
I'm turning around. Did my grandma and the kids come out here, or mom and dad home early? Who's back there?
Two more of these things on the side. And they throw themselves at you. What do you do as these things are propelling themselves towards you?
I'm screaming, and I'm going to the kitchen for a knife.
God. You come back into the kitchen. There's something else in there. It's not one of these weird little things, thank goodness. It's an elf. It's a Christmas elf. You don't really have any other words for it. As they see you coming in with a knife, they're like, "Oh, wait, fudging Christmas, what?
Are those...
What's going on?
Are those yours? They ate my cookies for Santa. Don't you want to..."
What are your cookies?
The cookies are for Santa, your boss.
What? You're buying this. You're buying this. Okay. Okay, come here. And he reaches for your hand, the one that doesn't have the knife in it. Like, come on. What? We gotta go. You got a couple of things in your house, we gotta go.
Okay, I'm gonna take, I probably have got some little cookies, like little scrap test bits on the kitchen counter. I'm gonna shove those in my apron pockets, because like, if the elf is taking me to Santa, I can't go empty-handed. It's not my best work, but it's something.
By the way, he says as he leads you towards the chimney. By the way, you're Mavis, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. This would suck otherwise. Hold on a second. And as he reaches the chimney, he reaches in. Is there a fireplace? Is there a fire going in the chimney, by the way?
Maybe. Maybe some embers. Like, I don't think we'd keep it going that strong like this late into the night.
Okay, great. Then this would hurt a lot more. He reaches in and he slaps the side of the chimney, like basically like tapping out, making a cue. And suddenly you feel yourself rushing up the chimney as though you are pulled by a great force. Like you're going up a freaking zip line or something. And you come up on the roof of your house where there is a gigantic floating train.
Do I have to pay for a ticket?
What? You hear some skittering behind you coming up the chimney. Definitely the sound of claws on brick. What? Pay? Get on the train!
Okay. I just want to make sure. I didn't bring anything but cookies and a knife.
Cookies? You brought the knife?
Fine, okay, I won't take the knife. That might... put me on the naughty list. I don't know if good girls have knives, so I'm just going to gently, like...
No, bring the knife! I don't care!
Okay, I'll bring the knife! Okay!
Is Mavis a Girl Scout? Always be prepared. She has cookies, she has a knife, whatever you might need.
That apron's got big pockets. Yep.
All right, so you get on the train, the elf climbs onto the train after you, gets back in, you see another kid sitting on a chair looking a little shell-shocked, and you look back over your shoulder through the windows and you see not just three of these strange little dark imps, but you see about five coming out. And there's more following them. In fact, it starts to look like, as the train pulls away, like a black shadow pouring over the roof of your house. And as you look down into your neighborhood, before this train seems to go into some kind of warp, you see more and more on rooftops and in streets. There's some kind of infection going on here. This is not great.
I think Grandma can handle that.
Let's go over to Ashley questions. Ashley, your family isn't really huge on Christmas. Do you have anything that you do that makes Christmas Eve any more particular than any other night?
I think we would probably have a tree up just because, like, aesthetically we like it. We just don't necessarily celebrate the holiday. It's just
nice.
More ease for if we ever have other family over. It's just not worth the fight to not have things up. But I'm probably just watching a movie. Maybe my dad was watching it with me, but he fell asleep. And let's just say maybe my mom's just, like, on the phone in another room.
Okay, cool. Do me a favor. You've got a sibling. What are they like?
Oh, God.
They a baby?
Sure, let's go with a baby, because I don't feel like giving them a personality.
Awesome. Babies don't really
Yeah, babies are just there.
Yeah. Okay. So you let's see. It's pretty late at night. You guys were watching a movie then. It's like Christmas break, so you've probably got a pretty loose bedtime here. Let's see, you hear your mom calling you from the other room. She's on the phone, but she kind of gestures for you and hands you, like, kind of a note that she scratched out on a notepad while she's, like, talking to, let's say she's talking to your grandma, and your grandma kind of likes to go on at length, so so she hands you a note, and she's like, uh-huh. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. And she smiles apologetically at you and hands you the note which says, can you check on your brother?
I will give her a thumbs up and go do that.
Okay. As you go up the stairs, you're, yeah! Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Your grandma's chatty. So you'll go upstairs to the nursery, you know, your parents have sort of done their best to decorate it, but, I mean, babies don't really have preferences at this point, so...
Yeah, and it's the second kid, so they're probably just like, who cares?
Exactly. They've already gone through one kid. They're not, like, super worried at this stage. They're just ready to actually get a good night's sleep again. So, you go up, you check on the kid, and luckily everything seems pretty quiet. You don't remember hearing anything on the baby monitor as you pass by your mom. But, you know, she gets a little paranoid. She just wants to make sure the kid's sleeping okay. So you go in and you check. And that crib's empty.
Oh, I'm gonna check under the crib. Maybe it fell through the cracks. You don't know.
What, baby physics?
Baby physics, man, who knows? Well, that's kind of a problem. There's nothing under the crib either. But there is a noise in the closet. Oh,
I will go check the closet.
And what do you do? Do you throw open the closet?
Yes.
Okay. So you just pell-mell run in the closet, throw it open. And you don't see anything immediately, because what you see is blend so well into the shadows that until it opens its mouth and you see all the teeth, you don't even notice the imp. But what you do notice when you see it is that it's got the baby in its arms.
Okay. Would I have to roll anything to try to grab the baby?
Yeah, okay. Let me roll. Let's try and act under pressure here. So roll me a nimble.
Okay. That's an eraser. That's not a dice.
I rolled nothing so somehow.
Hashtag artist problems.
All right. I rolled a 6. Do I add anything?
And that's a straight 6.
Yeah,
that you
said nimble, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a 7.
Okay. So, with a 7, I'm gonna say you make a grab for it, the imp kind of sees you coming and tries to move the baby out of the way, out of your arms, like it kind of tries to hold it up, But you kind of manage to at least, like, paw at his clothing a little. You get the little baby hat that they put on the kid.
Oh, God.
And the imp, springs out, while there's sort of a little bit of a shuffle here. It, runs by you and goes out the window that you now notice is open.
Okay. Shit, Ashley, you're an only child now.
It's a Christmas miracle!
Oh, God!
Don't worry, I've seen Labyrinth. I know how to handle this.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna go fist fight David Bowie. And it's gonna be great. It'll be fun.
Oh, man, I wish. I wish I'd planned for a David Bowie Christmas.
Next year.
I'm just gonna, like, put the little hat in my pocket, kind of go out the room, but close the door behind me, and just very quickly and quietly go to either, like, I guess it'd be in the closet, and just get, like, a coat. Let's say I'm in, like, onesie pajamas, because they're cute awesome. And comfy, and I just put on my winter coat over it. What?
Tell me about your onesie pajamas. Do they have, are they an animal,
yeah.
or are they just, like,
let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go with, like, the little dragon one that they have at Target. It's got, like, a little dragon on the hood. It's got scales and little wings. So I have to get my big coat to go over the wings, duh.
Naturally.
I'll, like, let's say maybe rain boots are in the closet, since you want to keep them with your regular shoes in case they get dirty. So I'll jump into those and maybe grab, let's say, a broom. That seems like that would be there and ready to grab. And then I'm going to go back into the baby room, close the door again, and then go out the window.
I love it. Okay. So outside that window, you've got sort of a small landing because the baby's room is kind of over the garage, so there's a little bit of a butt that comes out there. You look around. You don't see the imp anywhere. You see tracks leading off somewhere, but they seem to stop as soon as they hit the roof, as soon as they hit the edge of the roof. Behind you, though, you hear a very loud noise like something breaking, and you look behind you, and there's a flying train that has come to a halt right above your house, and out the window pokes a Christmas elf. It's like, wait, you're already on the... What did I miss?
Did you see a baby go this way?
Oh, Kringle. What was... You got, like, a big, like, weird black thing.
Yeah.
Looks like it's, like, covered in oil or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it took my baby. Oh, not my baby. My neighbor baby.
Your neighbor
baby. Well, it's my brother, but, like, it's not my baby, but still my baby. Because, like, it's my brother. And he's a baby. Like, did you see one or not?
The elf just kind of looks at you. All right. Okay. Fudge. Okay. You're going to want to get in. We can fix that, but we got to go someplace. We got to make a couple stops first.
I'm just going to, like, check my watch and be like, "All right." But, like, it's really cold out and it's a baby.
Aw.
Well, I got, like, okay, look. I got, like, cocoa in the train. There's probably a snack bar.
Okay. That'll definitely calm my parents down when the baby's missing.
Look, do you want to save the baby or do you want to just sort of hang out on the roof there? Because I can just pass over here.
All right, I'll get in your stupid train.
Thank you, Ashley. Probably Ashley. Ashley?
Wait, are you just picking up strange kids?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. Because, in fact, when you get on the train, you do see two more kids there.
I'll still be holding my broom like I'm ready to attack.
Awesome, one of them's got a knife.
I like her.
A new friend.
Okay, and you kind of feel a little bit of jostling as the train pulls out of the station that is your rooftop.
Still not the weirdest thing that's happened today, so it's fine.
We go to Amelia, the heart. How's your Christmas going, Amelia?
So, we baked cookies earlier today. And then Mom and Dad put me down to sleep, but I can't really sleep because I'm too excited, even though I know I should sleep because Santa's coming. So I'm up under the covers with a flashlight rereading all the Christmas books that Mom and Dad left in my room after story time. And Mr. Cookie's here. I'm reading to him.
Mr. Who?
Mr. Cookie is my bear.
Okay. What's Mr. Cookie like?
He's my best friend. Mm-hmm. He's your classic little white fluffy bear with a red ribbon, except he's been taken everywhere, so he's not quite white anymore.
Awesome. Okay, so you are in your bed. You have the covers pulled over you. You've got your flashlight going on. It's getting a little stuffy under there, frankly, as it always does. But, you know, you're having a really nice time. And that's when you hear the sound of the window opening. You hear something cursing as it sort of falls down on the floor. Just,
And from out on a lawn, there arose such a clatter. I pull the blankets up. Santa?
There's kind of a dumpy Christmas elf picking themselves back up off the ground. No.
Eyes as big as saucers. I pretend to be asleep. Because I'm supposed to be asleep when Santa's here.
Hey, what happened? Did you pass out? What's going on here?
One eye opens.
Oh my god. Hi.
Are you... You're one of Santa's helpers, right? You used to be at the mall. You'd take the pictures.
Yes! Yeah, that was me. That was definitely me. Hi, how are you?
I know I should be asleep, but I was too excited. And I was reading Christmas books, so it's a really good reason to still be awake.
Yeah, no, definitely. We should definitely all stop pretending to be asleep. That'd be great. That'd work great for me.
Okay.
You're Amelia, right?
Amelia Joy.
Oh, good. Let's stick with Amelia.
Okay. Mom only calls me Amelia Joy when I'm in trouble.
Okay. That's great. That's good for you. I'm very happy for you. Look, do you want to save Christmas?
What's wrong with Christmas?
A lot.
Is it the Grinch?
There's a whole... No, well, actually, I'm not sure. There's a whole thing. Look, I got a train outside. I'm collecting children. It's way less creepy than it sounds, I promise you.
No! And she digs around in the pile of books and pulls out the Polar Express. Like this?
Yeah, actually, less Tom Hanks's, though.
Please, Tom's Hank.
Or is it Tom's Hank?
Hank's Hank.
Less Tom's Hank.
Do I get a bell?
Maybe. I'd probably arrange that. I don't know.
Okay. And she gets out of bed, puts on her slippers. Little fuzzy velvet ones to match her little fuzzy velvet red nightgown with the white lace. Christmas to the
max. You got anything you want to bring with you? Because, like, one of the kids has, like, a knife, and the other one's got, like, I don't know, a broom or something.
She's hugging Mr. Cookie. Can Mr. Cookie
come? Sure.
Absolutely.
Get on the train.
Okay.
Come on, I'll give you a boost.
Thank you.
All right, and up we go, and into the train. This is probably the easiest one. We have a lot of time to make up, and I'm so upset. Okay, up. You clamber onto the train. There are other kids there. The elf climbs up behind you, gets into the train. The train takes off, and the elf looks strangely pleased for the first time that anyone has seen him tonight, because that one was actually fast. That one was easy. Next, we are going to Jade.
That's me.
Jade, how is it going? How is your Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve is like it usually is every year now, where Jade is all by herself. Like, the babysitter is off somewhere doing something. But she just doesn't care. They have a nice little relationship where the babysitter can do whatever she wants and she does whatever she wants. It's really dark out. She doesn't like any of the lights on, but she's standing like in front of her chimney. She's wearing like a little robe, and she has her tiara on, her best tiara. And she has a like a little magic wand that's actually pretty sturdy. It's kind of expensive, and she has it. And she's kind of got like this kind of like grumpy look on her face, and she's tapping her foot. She's waiting. She's waiting for Santa to show up because she has to confront him.
Okay. Now, where is your Christmas tree in the room?
It's a couple feet away from the chimney, and it's rotating. It's got a bunch of ornaments and different flashing lights, but she's just staring hardcore at that chimney.
All right. You catch a weird movement out of the corner of your eye in the direction of the Christmas tree. It shouldn't really do a whole lot for you since that Christmas tree's moving around, but something seems weird. Do you look away?
No, she's steadfast on this chimney, because if she misses Santa, she's going to be mad. She's going to have to chase after him.
You hear some noises back there, and you feel that there is more movement coming from over the direction of that tree. But here's the thing. Something else is happening in front of you. There is a little bit of soot that is falling down into the fireplace, down from the chimney. There's scratching there. There's cursing. And there's a little jingling as well.
Jade, go ahead and she puts both her hands on the wand, and she kind of raises it up like a bat, and she's like, I'm ready.
And then you see poking down from the chimney, there is a little jingle bell at the very top of a pointed hat that is inexplicably still on the head of an upside-down Christmas elf. It's like, okay, so that kid's probably gonna be, like, asleep or something. I just gotta... Hi!
You're not Santa.
So I'm told.
As soon as the elf opens his mouth, she just goes over and just whacks him in the face with the wand.
Go! Fudging! Shiny tinsel! Why would you do that?
You're not Santa!
And he collapses into the chimney. I know! What was I supposed to be?
We have a scheduled meeting. He's supposed to come up here to drop off my presents, and I need to talk to him.
Santa's busy!
Do you not understand who I am? My name is Princess Jade, and I need to talk to Santa.
Look, I've had a long night. I don't... Why would you... God, it was pointy. Look, kid, do you want to just get in the chimney?
Excuse me?
Just get in the chimney.
Are you gonna take me to Santa?
Don't make any sudden movements. Just move slowly towards the chimney, and everything should be fine. You notice that this elf is bug-eyed and looking behind you.
Well, she's obviously going to look behind her.
Yeah, the room is actually kind of covered in strange little dark imps, and they are holding all of the presents from under the tree. They all freeze when they look at you, and there is a long moment that stretches in the room as you all survey each other.
Jade leans down, and she grabs just anything that's on the floor, which is probably like a discarded toy that she didn't want anything to do with. And she just quickly throws one at one of the things, and she's like, okay, chimney, let's go!
They start screaming. It's an unholy screeching noise, like nails on a chalkboard. And the elf is just like, come on, come on, come on, come on, reaches for your hand. And when you grab it, he slaps the chimney a couple of times, and then you are both sucked up the chimney. Lickety split. Pop out onto the roof. There's a big train. He's like, get in the train, get in the train, get in the train, get in the train.
Get in the train.
Good, good, good. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Move, move, move. He clambers up behind you. You definitely see some imps crawling up the chimney, holding your presence, by the way. And the train starts taking off and going into a big old red and green portal as you leave your whole reality.
Are you going to replace those presents?
Maybe? I don't know. I'm not Santa. We've established that. Okay? All right, you guys come through the portal. You come up to a fairly innocuous home. And as you are hovering in midair, the elf kind of pulls to a stop and the train kind of idles and they look back around to you guys. Says, okay, who wants to help me?
Amelia's hand shoots up in the air.
Me! I'll help!
Great. Who's not 7 years old and wants to help me?
I'm 7 and a half.
I'm 8 years old.
Okay.
I like your tiara.
Thanks.
I'll raise my hand.
Okay, great. I'm scared of this one. No. We got one more kid to pick up. I kind of put him off till the last. They scare me a little. So, who wants to come inside with me?
Is Santa gonna be there?
What would you do if the answer was yes?
I told you, we had a scheduled talk. I might hit him a couple times. You never know.
This will make it go faster to get Santa.
And then she just goes ahead and hits her wand against her hand. She's like, let's do this.
Awesome. So you two and the elf, who, by the way, you've never asked this elf's name.
Hey, elf, what's your name?
You. Bummer. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
We'll just call you B.
It's not B. It's Bungle.
Bungle.
It's Bungle, all right!
We'll just call you B. I'll just call you B.
Great. Much obliged. Get off the train.
All right, Bungle.
It's not Bunghole, it's Bungle. God. Jiminy Christmas. So, you guys follow Bungle. Thank God I can finally say their name. You guys follow Bungle out of the train, and for those of you who actually went up the chimney, you kind of do a reverse of it. It's weird. You're kind of like sucked down it, almost like it's kind of a warp tunnel. And you come down on the other side of the chimney into a home, and you come up to the bedroom, and this is where Mac tell us about Lori. Tell us about Lori's house and Lori's day.
You probably passed my mom, who is very cheerfully singing Christmas music from the kitchen. But my door, meanwhile, says keep out in big letters, and there's a drawing on the front. An anime drawing of what probably is my face. It's terrible. The eyes are giant, my nose is super tiny, barely there, and my mouth is a big frowny face. And it says, keep out, do not enter. From inside, there's total silence, but there's obviously some light going on because you can kind of see the dull light of TV. Because inside, I'm in my room, my television is on. It's on Toonami, playing whatever's on Toonami right now. And I've...
Spectacular.
I've got my journal out in front of me, and I'm currently writing poetry. And I've got a dictionary that my mom got me, and I've already gotten for Christmas because I found it in her closet. And I have it out open next to me, and I'm currently writing a poem aloud to myself and reading it as I go so I can make sure it sounds perfect. Mom keeps shouting Rudolph with the dentist is on, but I am in my room, the duckling, not the, I need a better word than pretty. I pick up my dictionary, start flipping through it, get to pretty. Alluring? I don't like that word. Beguiling swan.
I'm in my room, the duckling, not the beguiling swan. Because I wish as hard as I can that I was back in school. But no, life continues to be odious and cruel. Because it wants to make sure that I never see her again. And the tears rush down all the way to my chin. Oh, this is good. This is good. Title this one, Missing Her. And I'm in bed, in my pajamas, which are not Christmas related, no thank you. They're just blue stripes on the bottom and a white t-shirt on top that notes that I am part of the spelling team on my school.
Outside the door, a bungle kind of opens the door just a hair, looks in, and then turns around to you with wide eyes. Aw, jeezy creep, she's awake. Oh, I was hoping she'd be asleep. This isn't gonna go well.
Okay. So we just have to get her on the train?
Is there a better word than tears that I could use?
Yeah. Yeah, we just gotta get her on the train. Like, as fast as possible.
I'm gonna push open the door.
You what?
I said I'm gonna push open the door.
Mom, I told you I don't want to watch Rudolph.
I'm not your mom. I'm gonna, what can I roll to take away the journal?
Oh my god. Okay. Oh, no. Would you like to roll me a God, let's roll a deck. Roll me a kick some ass and add your deck score.
I rolled a 5 and I got plus 1, so a 6.
Okay. So you march in. You take Lori unawares. You are able to get a good handle on the journal. But Lori's grip remains strong, so you guys start tugging.
Who are you? Give me my journal back! You're not allowed to read that!
I say, blowing out everybody's microphone. You're all
I
awesome.
I wanna go over there and with my my little wand just like tap Lori on her finger so she lets go. It's like, it's time to go!
Ow!
I'm doing everyone a favor.
Okay, roll me a help out roll using wonder.
Oh, I'm not good at that. That is a 11.
Yeah, you smack it good. In fact, you're Lori, your knuckles really smart. Okay, so you have successfully gotten rid. You have successfully grabbed this journal from this kid.
I'm gonna wave it at them and then run the way that we came in.
Lori starts screaming for mom, declaring, "Why did you bring these stupid kids in the house, mom?" And she scrambles out of bed, trips a little bit. She is already wearing her slippers, so she could storm out to the kitchen now and again to get what she wanted. And she starts chasing down. She starts chasing as fast as she can after Ashley. Give me that back! No one's allowed to read that.
Did we do a good job?
Yeah, you guys take off across the house. Just for the sake of brevity, you guys run too fast for Lori's mom to even really notice you. In fact, she's kind of started to tune out Lori's screaming because Lori's 13 years old, and that's just happening a lot right now. Bungle runs after you, losing their fucking mind. Oh my god. You guys get to the chimney. Bungle kind of goes up to the chimney, runs past you guys, slaps it, it's like, let's go. Grab her. Somebody grab her.
Lori reaches out to try and grab her journal back.
Awesome. As soon as you do that, you and these two other kids get yanked up into, up the chimney and, towards the train. Like, let's go. Oh my god.
Give me my journal back.
Once we're on the train, I just give her back her journal. That wasn't so hard.
Oh, you could have thrown it out the window.
Fungal slams the door shut behind you, runs to the engine compartment, and also slams that shut too, and the train lurches off.
"What in the hell is happening?" says Lori and starts trying to get the door open.
Hey, that's a bad word.
We're on the Polar Express.
Bungle looks through the door.
This is kidnapping! I am going to the police!
No, it's not, he says. This isn't kidnapping. This is saving Christmas.
Why would I want to do that? Christmas is dead anyway.
And the train shoots off. Everything starts rumbling, and the train takes off into the atmosphere and into the longest warp that any of you have yet witnessed. And you all leave your own worlds far, far behind, and that is where we are going to call it for this episode.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.